Oh, Kira, congratulations. Look at her tiny fingers. She's beautiful, just like her mommy.
Oh, thank you.
Have you got a name yet?
Well, we're thinking
she's going to call her Brooklyn. Brooklyn, Massachusetts, Phoenix, Arizona.
Your vote is your voice. So if you don't speak up, someone else is deciding for you.
Baltimore, Kentucky, Murphy O'Neill.
Who is that?
Hospital porter. Just back from his American road trip.
Make sure you're registered to vote. Go to checktheregister.ie and be a voter so that it's your voice that's heard. From Am Comisiún Toghcháin, Ireland's Independent Electoral Commission.
Oh, Brookie Massachusetts, come to Auntie Hannah.
Seachtain, an Indo Askeilige.
Time I mon iroctí a yen of chacht ar a chur. Agus súligam a machan seo, gur féidir é a chur in uig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltí, fís, turmi.
Tá sé dochreitse nach bhéadach ara i gcúrna meáin an cheistin a eicáil.
Bhí an tálam a gináam gribh orcháir na reachtam. Iadach sé tálam gribh an orcháir san i lis dúhal agus gimine fnacht gór a clig sár ducha sin éachar. Ná ní bhin áon dár dárach sin, bhin marav.
Seachtain, find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
If you like the Indo Daily, you can follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
After one of the longest and most high-profile murder trials in Ireland, Patrick Quirk was found guilty of the murder of Bobby Ryan, aka Mr. Moonlight, in 2011. But now, in a shock decision, the Supreme Court has ruled that the seizure of a computer from Quirk's home during the Garda investigation was in fact unlawful. I'm Kevin Doyle, and in this bonus episode of the Indo Daily, I'm joined by the Irish Independent's legal affairs editor, Shane Phelan, to tell us why this decision is so significant and what could be next for the convicted killer. Shane Phelan, you're not somebody who would be known to be prone to exaggeration, but you used the phrase bombshell decision in your copy when reporting on this case today. Before we get into that, can you remind me of the story of Bobby Ryan and Patrick Quirk?
Yeah, so Bobby Ryan, described in the Supreme Court ruling today as a busy man of wide interests. He went missing on the 3rd of June 2011 for no apparent reason. There was no messages or left by him or calls to his family, his friends.
Just vanished.
He just vanished. People were kind of alarmed. Searches went on for a long period, and it wasn't until 22 months later that the accused in this case, Patrick Quirk, notified Gardaí that he'd found human remains in a tank on the farm that he'd been leasing for some years at Fonagown in County Tipperary. Now, this happened to be the farm owned by Mary Lowry, and Patrick Quirk had, for a period of about 4 years, been involved in an extramarital affair with Mary Lowry, who was a widow. And at the time that Bobby Ryan went missing, he was romantically involved with Mary Lowry. So here you had a situation where this farmer was finding the body of somebody that could be perceived to have been a love rival.
And so Patrick Quirk went on trial for the murder. We heard lots of evidence. It was one of the longest running trials in the history of the state. There was things such as letters to the agony aunt in the Sunday Independent. There was some evidence that was, I suppose, of a very tabloid nature that came out through the whole trial about the nature of the relationship between Mary Lowry and Patrick Quirk. And ultimately, a jury found him guilty of murder. But the decision today honed in relation to a vital part of the evidence that led the jury to reach that conclusion.
Yeah, so like this was really a circumstantial case. There was no murder weapon. There was no murder scene. There was even, a disagreement as to the precise mechanism of death or how Bobby Ryan came to die. And what you had was a very circumstantial case where various strands were woven together by the prosecution. And when all of these strands were woven together, you had a jury who agreed, yes, this man was guilty. And the issue here with this appeal was related specifically to the seizure of a computer from Patrick Quirk's house. Why was that important? That was important because when the guards looked at this computer and searched through it, they found that there was various internet searches done at key times, and these related to the decomposition of human remains. So it would have got people asking the questions, well, why is he Googling this stuff? Could it possibly be to do with the fact that he put a body in a water tank and is kind of wondering as to what state that body might be in if it ever came to him having to open it? And the theory put forward by the prosecution was that this discovery of the body was staged. He was about to lose his control or his access to the land because his lease was about to be ended, and that he had to do something. So this is what he did.
So if I have it right, Shane, the Supreme Court has ultimately decided that the warrant executed by Gardaí wasn't proper. The paperwork wasn't properly done. Is that what we're talking about here?
It's a little bit more than that. They found that basically the warrant was unlawful. So what was the warrant was important because when you go into someone's house and looking for evidence, you need to have a warrant from the court. So in this instance, the application for the warrant itemized various items that they were hoping to find. Now, these were things that Bobby Ryan had owned that were missing. So you were talking about keys and clothing and so on. And they were kind of hoping to, maybe uncover some of those things. And although the guards discussed the need to go in and look for computers because there could be evidence on a computer that might be, have a bearing on the case, and this could be anything from, farm records to stuff that might indicate the time or the yield from the milking that was done that morning by Patrick Quirk. Although that had been discussed by the Gardaí, they actually left it off of the application, and there was no mention made to the district court judge from whom the warrant was obtained that they were contemplating retrieving a computer and searching a computer. So this was, seized upon at the trial, and Patrick Quirk's team fought the entry of that evidence. They questioned the validity of the search warrant, but the trial judge let it through. And in the Court of Appeal, the Court of Appeal said, look, it was suboptimal that this wasn't actually mentioned to the judge, the district court judge, but they still found that the warrant was valid and that the computer was obtained legally. But we arrive at today where the Supreme Court is saying, oh, hang on a second, hold your horses. This is an important issue in the scheme of things. It made a distinction between physical space and non-physical space. So the warrant that the guards obtained under the strict wording of the Act is related to physical space. So you could go in and you could take hold of objects. So they could have taken, there was nothing to stop them taking the computer, but under the warrant they got, they would have been limited to, maybe taking fingerprints from the computer or examining it in some other way, but not actually going into the computer and checking its contents. The court noted that the seizure for entry into the digital space involves the automatic loss of privacy rights on a vast scale. So it's saying this was, if the guards were going to go looking to seize a computer for the purpose of looking at what's on the computer, then that's something a judge would have to have known in advance, and the judge would have to have kind of weighed up, well, is this something I can give a warrant for? To be honest with you, Kevin, it seems like at this remove, it looks like a bad oversight. There's no question but that they would have got the warrant one way or the other. There's no issue here. I don't think there's any issue about maybe trying to pull the wool over a judge's eyes or something. You're just kind of looking at a mistake, basically.
And as I said at the top, you're not prone to exaggeration, but that idea that this was a bombshell, what was the reaction like in court at this ruling?
Like, having covered the appeal in the Court of Appeal, he had 52 grounds there and they were all swatted away by the three judges in that court. I think that most media who turned up today were kind of expecting, something of a repeat. It was reduced on this occasion to two grounds, one of which was he was rejected on. But then Mr. Justice Charlton, as he was reading out the ruling, it became clear that, hang on a second, this is kind of going a different way here. to what people expected. And yeah, there was a few jaws on the ground, I suppose. But it's a very detailed and reasoned.
It'll take a little time to digest and by both parties, I presume. Were there any of Bobby Ryan's family or Patrick Quirk's family in court today?
No, there wasn't. There was no one there from either family. We have been speaking to Bobby Ryan's daughter since, Michelle Ryan, and she too has said, look, she's going to need to take time to take in the ruling.
We don't know fully, but could we be looking at a retrial?
That is a distinct possibility. I mean, the court was very clear that the only order it was making was that this search warrant was invalid. So it said the implications of that will have to be discussed further. So there's going to be another hearing set. And this will basically be one where the state and the counsel for the defence are going to basically put forward their arguments as to what should happen next. I wouldn't be surprised if the state took the line that, look, this was inadvertent. Okay, so there is case law there that evidence obtained illegally can still be considered if the illegality was inadvertent. And I would be surprised if the state didn't put forward that line. On the other side of things, you've clearly got a defence team who have consistently said all along that, look, this was illegally obtained evidence and has to be excluded. And, you know, if they win through on that, then you're into, well, okay, if this evidence was to be excluded, well, what other evidence is there?
Suddenly the jigsaw isn't as clear, perhaps, as it was in the first trial.
Yeah, so like we've heard this sort of arguments made, say, in the Court of Appeal with the Graham Dwyer case, where you know, arguments being made there in relation to the admissibility of mobile phone metadata, and the tack that taken by the state in that, on that side, or in that particular case, was, look, even if that evidence was to be excluded, we had ample other evidence. And if you cast your mind back to the trial of Patrick Quirk, there was an awful lot of evidence. Now, albeit circumstantial, but there was heaps and heaps of it. And the question then is, well, if you interwove all of those and took out the strand that involves the computer evidence and these searches about decomposition, are those remaining strands strong enough to support a conviction? So these are the questions that are going to have to be tossed around and considered. And, you know, we're talking about the Supreme Court here. So, I'm sure there's probably other things that they'll end up considering as well. But they're not going to take any decision lightly regards the consequences.
My thanks to Shane Phelan for joining me today. And you can keep up to date on the latest on this story on independent.ie. I'm Kevin Doyle, and today's episode was produced by Tabitha Monaghan and Siobhan Maguire, with sound by Gavin Hennessy. If you enjoyed the Indo Daily, don't forget to like, follow, and leave us a review.